This is SEC Talk.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to it. You heard it there off the top. It's SEC Talk with your hosts, Holden and Cody. Just Holden again tonight. Looking forward to getting some of this content to you guys. Excited to be back with you guys after taking a little bit of a hiatus. Had a good bit going on around my life as far as my child goes. So haven't been able to do our 2 weeks in a couple of weeks because of a lot going on there. But we're here now. Going to get it to you now. We're going to go back through and review week 10 to start things off. Jump into the week 11 slate. Look at the college football playoff top 25 that came out for the second week in a row here. Also go back through who me and Cody thought our top four would be. And I actually asked Cody before this when I did get his picks for the week 11. So we will have that at the end of this episode. But I also asked him, if you had to choose who the top four would be at the end of the year right now, who do you think will be the top four of the college football playoff when we get to it at the end of the year, when it's set? We went ahead and decided to put ours in. So I've got them here. Hot off the press, if you want to call it that. So we're going to run through it. On Twitter, at SEC Talk 20, make sure you guys follow us there. On YouTube, go and follow us there as well. Hit that subscribe button as well as the bell, so that way when we do put up new episodes, you immediately get a notification letting you know that we have done that. We are not live on YouTube right now. I'm still dealing with camera issues, so we're not up and running on that. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you rate and review the show. We'd love that 5-star. Leave a review. You could hear it on a show upcoming. Also, in the description of the podcast, if you guys want to support the podcast, you can click that link. It gives you a few options to be able to donate. You can cancel it anytime if you feel like it. Now, let's get into it. Let's start things off. We're just going to run through the top, or the week 10 games. Before we get to the week 11 slate, we will run through that top 25 that did come out this week. Let's start things off. Georgia Bulldogs taking on the Missouri Tigers last week, being the number one team in the country. Georgia, absolutely no trouble in this one. The first quarter was really slow, 7-3 going into the second quarter, but in the second quarter, Georgia's offense came alive. Putting up 19 points alone in the second quarter, they walk away with this one by the end of 43-6. And at the end of this game, we saw it again. A team attempted to score on Georgia's defense in the last seconds of the game, with the game already being well out of hand. Eli Drinkwitz takes not one but two timeouts trying to get in the end zone at the goal line of Georgia, and Georgia held them out, holding Missouri no touchdown, but they do get a couple of field goals that coming in the first quarter and the fourth quarter. And this was Stetson Bennett. He was your leading passer, 255 yards, two touchdowns. Georgia didn't rush the ball nearly as much as I anticipated Georgia to do in this game, only rushing the ball for 168 yards. I was expecting Georgia to really put up almost over 300 yards on the ground, but they did that through the air, 337. You did see JT Daniels come into this one and throw it a couple of times. He did have a touchdown pass, also had a deflection that was tipped up for an interception, so not 100% his fault on that, but at the same time, that did happen. Georgia did put up 505 total yards in this game as they continue their dominance in the SEC and as well as in the country as they lead it. And last week, the same thing right behind them, and it's the same this year, but again, we'll get to that coming up. Alabama at home hosting LSU. This was a night game. Alabama with another night game in this one. A game that we were not anticipating nearly to be as close as this game ended up being, which we'll get to the picks from the Week 10 slate. We'll review those coming up here in just a little bit. But this game was tight. Very tight. LSU had the lead in the first quarter. Matter of fact, first time leading Alabama for an entire quarter here in a while, I think since that 2019 season. But LSU with the lead, 7-0. Before you know it, get to the half and it's 14-7. Bama has the lead back. Then it's kind of back and forth a little bit there in the third quarter before Alabama keeps that lead 20-14. And it took a couple of stops there in the fourth quarter by Alabama's defense to be able to keep LSU from coming down and scoring. Crazy game, this one ending 20-14. I was not expecting Bryce Young, 302 yards in this one, two touchdowns. Yet again, LSU was able to run the ball very effectively against Alabama's defense. I'm still surprised to see that. But one thing that is continuing to rise, Jameis Williams, the leading receiver for Alabama another week. 160 yards in this one with a touchdown. He's the main guy. I know Mechie's been there before, but this every time I turn around, this seems to be the guy who's putting up the yardage in the biggest games for Alabama. So It was a tight one for the number two team in the country, but in the end, they do pull it off, and that a lot of times is what it takes. Very strange this year, or this week, well, this year as well. Teams that are at the top are struggling. The only team that has proven year or week after week, I should say, is Georgia. And it's very strange that all the teams below them just kind of are squeaking by. We're going to get to that when we run through some of the games around the country here in just a little bit. The top matchup in the SEC this weekend was the Auburn Tigers. Number 13, Auburn, traveling to number 14, Texas A&M. And A&M, that defense showed the reason it is as good as it is. But it wasn't until the fourth quarter that A&M actually pulled away with this game. This game was tied at 3 going into the second quarter, going into the half. And into the fourth quarter, this was only a 6-3 ball game with A&M at the lead. Before in the fourth quarter, a couple of touchdowns there for Texas A&M. Puts the game away. 20-3, A&M pulls away with this one. Zach Calzada, 15 for 29, 192 yards. No touchdowns through the air. Isaiah Spiller ran it for 112 yards. He also did not find the end zone in this game for Texas A&M. Kind of strange there, but Texas A&M flexing their muscles on defense and being able to get a couple of scores there in the fourth quarter to pull away from Auburn late. What we talked about last week was Auburn has to win this game and they have to beat Alabama for the possibility to be able to get into the SEC championship game. They fall in this one. Auburn's their chances of this are gone. It has now been diminished. But now brings the opportunity for Texas A&M to be brought right back into that light. Auburn still plays a factor in this. If Auburn can beat Alabama at the end of the year, all of a sudden Alabama has two losses, A&M has two losses, the head-to-head will matter in that, and Texas A&M will be the team to play for the SEC West and playing number one Georgia from the SEC East on December 4th. Still a lot to happen. A lot to happen because some really strange things could happen to where Alabama could fall to even an Arkansas. And the way that Alabama played LSU this past weekend, I'm not going to say that's out of the realm of possibility. Arkansas and LSU are going to play this upcoming week, and we're going to talk about that coming up. You can't necessarily take all of the information from that game and compare it, because game to game, it does change. It changes in a big way. So you can't necessarily take those games and compare them and say, okay, well, this team can do that if that team could have done that. It's not the way it works out. It changes week to week for each team, and it's also different. The Iron Bowl, Alabama and Auburn, is always different than another team is going to play them. And Auburn-LSU game is not going to be the same as an Alabama-Auburn game. So you can't always take that into consideration when that happens. But it'll still be something interesting to see coming up and coming forward, because at this point, Auburn, they had the chance to really have destiny in their hands this previous weekend. All they had to do was beat Texas A&M, continue forward, beat Alabama at the end of the year. Everything was in their hands. Now it's no longer in their hands. It's been taken away. Texas A&M, it's still not in their hands. It's still in the hands of Auburn and Alabama. Who's going to get in? Because again, really, I guess you could say at this point, the only team that has the keys to that truck is Alabama. And all they have to do is continue to win out for the rest of the season, and they're fine. They'll be in for the SEC championship game, and it depends on what happens from that point moving forward on who will be in the college football playoff once we get to that point. But in the end, number 14, Texas A&M does take down number 13, Auburn, at home 22-3. Moving down to Liberty, Hugh Freeze returning to Ole Miss. Turns out he actually got a really good, not a standing ovation, obviously, but he actually had a pretty good experience coming back to Oxford. Now, his football team did not. They lost this one 27-14. Ole Miss, I expected to really pull away from this game. But you can tell Matt Corral is still not 100%. Not 100% in this game. He does go 20 for 27, 324 yards and a touchdown through the air. On the ground, Jerry and Ely, he continued his candidacy. 115 yards, two touchdowns, as he continues to be one of the top running backs in the country, in the SEC especially. But in the end, again, Ole Miss pulls this one out 27-14. Another big one in the SEC that I thought was going to be pretty tight, and sure enough, it does turn out to be that way. Mississippi State, number 17, Mississippi State traveling to Arkansas. Arkansas pulls off the upset, 31-28. Again, I don't really want to call it an upset, because you're talking about 2-5-3 teams coming into this game, one of which just so happened to be ranked in Mississippi State there at 17. Arkansas, I told you at the beginning of this season, I think is a really good team. And they've just fallen by the wayside since playing Georgia, but they're slowly but surely starting to pick it up. I said this earlier in the season. I think teams that Georgia is playing are being broken. I think that that is happening because you take a Georgia team that plays Clemson. Clemson has completely fallen to the wayside. A Georgia team that played an undefeated Arkansas who went on a three-game losing streak following that point. A Georgia team who was playing an undefeated Kentucky team who has gone on a three-game losing streak falling to Tennessee. That's one I'm going to talk about in a minute. But then last week, a Georgia team who played Florida who did not look all that bad. They're broken. And this is why Florida comes into this game against South Carolina. Huge favorites. South Carolina drums the Gators 40-17. 40-17. Emory Jones throws for 258 yards, two touchdowns. But South Carolina beat Florida 40-17. Let me blow your mind. Florida, a team who last year wins the SEC East, plays Alabama really tight in the SEC championship game, looking for that possibility of getting in the college football playoff if they would have won that game. It doesn't happen. They fall in the bowl game as well. They lose four games last year. Florida's lost more games this year than last year. Let me blow your mind some more. Florida, 4-5 record right now, 2-5 in the SEC. South Carolina, a 5-4 record. A team who we all put at the bottom of the SEC East has a better record than the Florida Gators. Florida 4-5, South Carolina 5-4. South Carolina has lost less SEC games than Florida has. They both won the same amount of two, but less. Florida got a lot to figure out. Starts with Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen fires the defensive coordinator in Todd Grantham. Should have done that a couple of years ago. Fires the offensive line coach. I believe it was the O-line coach. Can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. Trying to make some changes there. But Florida, you still got to play Missouri. If you fall to Missouri next weekend, if it's not this weekend, let me double check. Next weekend, you got Samford this weekend. Lord forbid if you lose that one. But if you fall to Missouri after that, Dan Mullen may be out. You fall to Florida State at the end of the year, which it could happen. The way that you're playing right now, the way that you played South Carolina, that could very well happen because Florida State has been playing in games that they shouldn't necessarily be in. They've been playing very well. Very well. So, I don't think Florida's done losing this season. Florida's trying to get to a bowl game, and it could be a struggle. They're 4-5 right now. They should beat Samford this upcoming weekend to make it 5-5, an even 5-5. But you could lose to Missouri or Florida State or both at the end of the year and not be bowl eligible. What a crazy thought coming into this season. Now, me personally, I talked about this. I thought that Florida would probably finish third, possibly fourth in the SEC East. But I figured Kentucky and Missouri would be better. Kentucky has proven to be better. They've already proven that, and they've sat above that. So that happened. But Missouri, they kind of fell to the wayside, not quite as good. But nonetheless, Florida just continues to fall more and more. It's crazy that Florida may not make a bowl game if Missouri and Florida State can take them down. Kind of a strange thing to see there. Let's see if Dan Mullen can keep his job after all this. But hey, we need to give credit to Shane Beamer in South Carolina. He had his guys ready in this one. Florida pretty much quit. I don't know if they've quit on Dan Mullen or if they just quit in general in this one. But they definitely quit before this game. I don't think they ever even got on the bus to move. Kind of a strange turn of events, too. Friday night before the game, a video I think comes up that with Anthony Richardson was dancing before, you know, just dancing in the hotel room and tweaks his knee and never saw the light of day or a field, any kind of action on the field Saturday, supposedly because of that. And then after the game, let's not also say that Dan Mullen comes out and says multiple players have the flu in this game. Not to mention, hey, South Carolina, Shane Beamer, he's only got 79 scholarship players playing in this game for his team right now. So I don't want to hear the excuses, Florida. 20 guys may have had the flu. Why are you on the field? If we're trying to prevent COVID right now from going around, we don't want to spread the flu too because that's going to move just the same exact way. So I don't know. I don't know. At this point, I think it's just excuses. But I could be wrong about that. But, you know, again, it's my opinion. I think it's just excuses. Crazy that South Carolina pulls this one out. Congrats up to Shane Beamer on this one with a second win in the SEC, and no less, it comes against the Florida Gators. Now let's move to a really, really strange game. And I say this as a really strange game because of the way that this thing ended up. Tennessee beats Kentucky in Lexington 45-42. That in and of itself is not necessarily the headline grabber, I guess you'd say. And this is why. Let me go to some of the stats here. Okay. Tennessee puts up 461 total yards in this game. Okay. Not too big. Not too big of a deal, right? 461 total yards in this game. Kentucky puts up 612. 612. Okay. We're talking about 150 yards difference, basically. Kentucky outgained Tennessee, not by 5, not by 10, not by 15, by 150 yards. And Kentucky lost this game. Okay. You know, that can go back to that same, you know, Dan Mullen talking about how he's outgained every team that they've played. Sure. We'll go with that. But let me hit you with another stat that if that didn't blow your mind, this one really will. Time of possession. Kentucky had the ball in this game. A football game in college football is 60 minutes long. Kentucky had the ball for 46 minutes and 8 seconds. That converts to Tennessee having the ball for 13 minutes and 52 seconds. Let me do a little bit more breakdown of it so you kind of understand exactly what that means. Tennessee had the ball for less than a quarter of this game. And I don't mean it, and it does break down obviously as a quarter, but one quarter, 15 minutes of a game, Tennessee didn't have the ball that long in a game. They had it less than that, by over a minute and 8 seconds. Kentucky had the ball for over three quarters of this game. Put it to you this way, the game starts, Kentucky has the ball and does not give the ball to Tennessee until there's 14 minutes. And what is that, 2 seconds left? Or 14 minutes and 8 seconds left in the fourth quarter? And just say Kentucky's up at that point 42 to nothing. And Tennessee comes out in that last 13 minutes and 52 seconds and scores 45 points. That's the way that converts. Obviously, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do it that way, but essentially that's how it converts. The easier way to probably put it would be, say, all right, the first 13 minutes and 52 seconds of this game, Tennessee went up 45 to nothing. That's not the way this played out, but just bear with me as I give you this analogy. Tennessee goes up 45 to nothing. Tennessee does not get the ball for the rest of the game. 13 minutes and 52 seconds into the first quarter, Tennessee's up 45-0. They don't get the ball for the rest of the game. Kentucky does. And they score 42 points and lose by 3. That's how crazy the analogy is. Again, that's not the way it lined up. It was 14-7 in the first quarter, then 21-24 going into the half, Tennessee with the lead. But it's just amazing that Kentucky outgained Tennessee by over 150 yards, had the ball for 3 quarters of this game, and lost by a field goal. Unbelievable. Running back through our picks from this past week, they kind of line up just like this. I'm going to start with Cody. Cody does take Georgia over Mizzou. That hits. Ole Miss over Liberty. That hits. A&M over Auburn. Boom, that hits. Mississippi State over Arkansas. Not so fast. Arkansas takes that one. Bama over LSU. Barely, but they got it. Kentucky over Tennessee. Again, we just talked about that one. Tennessee pulls away with that one. Florida over South Carolina. Nobody really anticipated that one. Get down to mine. Georgia, with a win, got that. Under 59.5, take that as well. Ole Miss, taking that one and that one. I took Auburn plus 4.5. That did not happen. Took Mississippi State plus 4.5. That didn't happen. So, then you got Bama. Mississippi State, excuse me, they were within 3 of this game, right? Yeah, they were within 3, so plus 4.5. Yeah, hey, Mississippi State, that hits. That's right, because these are 2 games that I did not pick an actual win. I just took the spread in those. I took Auburn plus 4.5. That didn't happen because they got killed. But I did take Mississippi State plus 4.5, and they only lost by 3, so that's in the margin. Give me a win. Bama, took them. Tennessee, took them. Got all of that, and then I took Florida at the end. But the only this is not a win for me because I did take Florida. I lost, but if you remember listening to me last week, I did say that I think this is going to be just like the week previous with Vandy. And who was Vandy playing? Missouri. I figured Vandy was going to play with a chip on the shoulder against Missouri. Almost won that game. It took a last-minute drive for Missouri to go down and actually take care of business against Vandy in that game to win it. And I said the same thing was going to happen this week. I figured South Carolina was going to come in with a chip on their shoulder and play Florida very tough and make this one a tougher game. I still pick Florida to win it. But lo and behold, South Carolina really did come in with that chip on the shoulder. And they took care of business. They got the job done and take down Florida. I'll take that loss handily. I'll take it and take it to the bank too, because, I mean, why not? But I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and jump into the Week 11 slate as well as the Week 11 college football playoff poll ranking that came out earlier this week. All right, here we go. Getting to that top 25 that we did have come out again, like I just said, this week. You have to bear with me a little bit. I've been watching and paying attention to this North Carolina and Pitt game, which right now is coming down to the wire, less than a minute to go. And North Carolina has come all the way back, tied this game up at 23 with less than a minute to go in this game. Anyway, here we go. Top 25, this is the way that it shakes up in the college football playoff ranking. Georgia stays at the top. Alabama right behind them in two. Nothing changing there. Here's where the changeup is after Michigan State fell from third. Oregon, basically Oregon, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Michigan, they all bump up a spot. So you got Oregon third, Ohio State fourth, Cincinnati fifth, Michigan sixth, Michigan State falls down to seventh. Oklahoma staying stagnant there after not playing. Notre Dame jumps up to nine. Oklahoma State there at the 10 spot. They are my kind of dark horse slipping into this thing at 10. And then you got Texas A&M at 11. Right there on the outside looking in. I'm going to run through the rest of it because it does. I don't think it's going to matter nearly as much as we progress through the rest of the season, but we'll still run through it nonetheless because you do have a couple of SEC teams still lingering around there. Wake Forest at 12, Baylor at 13, BYU at 14, Ole Miss at 15, bumping up a spot, NC State at 16, Auburn falls down to 17, Wisconsin at 18, Purdue at 19. After not being ranked, but they did get the big win this past weekend. Iowa at 20th. Pitt at 21. San Diego State there at 22. UTSA finding themselves in the top 25 for the first time in the college football playoff poll anyways. Utah jumping into that top 25 as well there at 24. Arkansas at 25 also coming into the – I think this is the first time they've been ranked in the college football playoff poll as well. So congrats up to Arkansas because I don't think they were – ranked in that initial one last week. So exciting kind of, I guess you'd say, for them coming on. Let's go ahead and take a look at what we've got lined up for the Week 11 slate here in the SEC. Starting things off with Alabama. New Mexico State at Alabama. It's not a ton to talk about in this one. I mean, Alabama's only a 51-point favorite. So, you know, give or take a few in that one. If this game was to end 50-3, I'd be shocked, to be honest with you. Alabama would probably put up about 60-something in this one. A New Mexico State team that's 1-8. This is a good game to get guys healthy, get some stats, you know, get some stats for you guys. But it's all there is to it. They ain't a lot to talk about this one. Over-under 67. I mean, Alabama's going to roll. And if they don't, then we've got a lot of questions. Moving down to that other 12 o'clock game there at ESPN. Look at there, Alabama actually going to play at 12 o'clock. Mississippi State at Auburn. This one's kind of an intriguing game. Auburn only a 5.5-point favorite coming into this one. Over-under on it is 50. Kind of intrigued about this one. Auburn is at the house here at Jordan-Hare. Should be pretty good weather this weekend coming up. Mississippi State is a team who has slipped up and they've beat teams. They were ranked in the top 25 last week with that first initial playoff ranking. Did come out. They're not this week. But they are still a team who could come in here and just continue to wreck things in the SEC West and make things really difficult over there because they've done that so far this season, taking down Texas A&M, winning games that they probably shouldn't, winning games that they should, and losing games that they shouldn't. So, you know, kind of the vice versa thing there. So this I think, is actually going to be a really good game. It's also an opportunity for Bo Nix to kind of redeem himself after he had a really inconsistent night against Texas A&M. He's kind of started to pick things up since that Georgia game, but since then, again, just kind of started to pick it up. But since playing Texas A&M last week, I mean, it just kind of fell back to the wayside. I was really surprised they didn't at least throw TJ Finley in there to just try something else, but it didn't happen. But Will Rogers, credit out to him. I mean, he is having a year, and I said this preseason, he is a guy, and even last year I was kind of praising him. He's a guy I like. I think he's a really good football player. He's thrown for over 3,000 yards this season, 23 touchdowns. You look at a Bryce Young, he's not there. 27, 155 yards, 28 touchdowns. He's throwing more touchdowns, doesn't have nearly as many yards. Will Rogers looked really, really good last week. So he's going to have to continue that if he's going to win at Jordan-Hare against Auburn this coming weekend. Again, that one at 12 o'clock on ESPN. Then you got Samford traveling to Florida. Can Florida get the upset of Samford here? I know that's kind of a weird thing to think of, isn't it? It is in Gainesville there at Florida. So, again, another one just kind of like that Alabama game. Should easily be able to take care of this one. Unless you have ESPN Plus or SEC Network Plus, you're probably not going to be watching this one, that one at 12 o'clock. And why would you watch it anyways after the way that Florida played last week against South Carolina? I think a lot of team, they got a lot to figure out over there. A lot to figure out down there in Florida because the recruiting trail, that's its own entity there with Dan Mullen and him not recruiting or recruiting or recruiting in the recruiting season, not in the football season or off say, I don't know what he's doing, what he's saying. A guy just flipped from Florida to Georgia today. So take that for what you will, but things are not looking good at Florida. Things have got to turn around, and they got to turn around real quick and in a hurry. Florida needs to win these last three games, play in a bowl game, win that, and look forward to the offseason to be able to turn things around next season because this year, it ain't the year. 2021 is not the year for the Gators. 2020 may have been in the East at least for them. 21 is not. Get through the rest of this year, get to the offseason, recruiting time, evidently, as Dan Mullen calls it. Get some guys in there and turn this thing around. Get yourself a good defensive coordinator in there who can actually make a difference that Ty Grantham has not been able to do for years. Turn this thing around. Georgia, Tennessee, this one's going to be kind of an exciting one there at 3:30 on CBS. Georgia, a 20-point favorite. This line got up to like 22.5. I think that's where it opened at. Over-under on it is 56. If you got it at 56, take the over. And I say that because Georgia's a very good football team. They don't let many teams score. They average less than a touchdown a game for opposing offenses. That's how good Georgia's defense is. Number one in the country. This is the only game this year that I think a team is going to score more than 13 points on Georgia's defense. And by that, I only think that Tennessee is capable of putting up 17. And I think that may be the number they put up is 17. Maybe. That's how good Georgia's defense is. But offensively, I think because of how bad Tennessee's defense is, I think Georgia's liable to put up 45, possibly even 48 points in this game. I think Georgia's going to score a lot in this one. So take that over 56 because I could see it's 45-17, 48-17. I think I picked it in my Georgia side 40-17. That still covers 56. So I think it's going to be a good game. Tennessee, they just run so high-paced and fast football that Hendon Hooker, I mean, he has been very smart with the ball, too, only throwing two interceptions on the season with 21 touchdowns right at that 2,000-yard mark. Just a really good football player. He is not a guy that you can count out in any situation, and this is a game where he has to play lights out if he is going to be able to take down Georgia. If you want to take down the top team in the country, this is where you do it. And to do that, you have to play phenomenal. You have to play mistake-free football. And I think he's capable of it, but Tennessee's defense is not going to stop Georgia. Now, that didn't matter last week when playing Kentucky. Kentucky came into that game, did whatever they wanted to do offensively, only punted the ball one time if they punted it at all. I need to look back and see which exactly that was. But Kentucky was able to move the ball, and they held the ball, again, almost the entire game, three-quarters of the game, and still lost. Still lost. I will be surprised if this is a game that comes down to the wire in the sense that it's like 45-40. That's not something I anticipate seeing just because I do not anticipate Georgia's defense giving up that kind of stuff because the only good thing going for Tennessee outside of the pace of a game, how fast, you know, like every 12 seconds having a play called, is they get the ball out quickly. And if you're going to beat Georgia, you have to do that because that offensive line for Tennessee is not going to be able to hold back the front four for Georgia and those linebackers. They have some wideouts that can get deep quickly. And Georgia's secondary is not and has not been tested the way that I think it will be tested this weekend against Tennessee. I do think Tennessee is going to have a couple chunk plays in there. I think Tennessee is going to have the opportunity to catch Georgia on their heels in a couple of plays. Now, it's not going to happen all night. So, again, I think I would be very shocked if this was a 40-45 game going into, like, the third quarter. But I can also see the other side where somehow Georgia's offense struggles, and this is a 24-17 game. kind of a struggle there in the fourth quarter. That is a possibility. But again, I just think that Tennessee's defense, the way that I've seen them play, is not going to slow down or stop Georgia's offense, who is, by the way, averaging almost 40 points a game alone. So there's that. Both teams average almost the same exact amount of points a game, offensively at least. Defensively, that's a whole nother entity. Both of them throwing for about the same, and I think Tennessee may actually run the ball a little bit better than Georgia. Georgia, that's one thing Georgia hasn't quite got figured out yet is the run game. A lot of that has to do with the O-line, but when they can't run, the good thing is they've been able to throw the ball, and that's proven week after week. So we'll see. That again, Tennessee's defense is not going to slow down Georgia. I think Georgia is the only defense in the country, with exception of maybe a Texas A&M, that can slow down Tennessee's offense just as fast, high-powered as that offense is. So it should be a really good game. South Carolina, Missouri, all of a sudden that shapes up to be a really good one after the way South Carolina absolutely manhandled Florida last week. South Carolina actually a one-point favorite coming in this one. I think if you went back last week before this game, Missouri was probably a three-point favorite at the house. At the house. Now South Carolina, a road dog, or actually a road favorite by 1 point in this game. Over-under on this one's 55. That's a pretty intriguing game. Again, Missouri without Connor Bazelak. I'm not sure if he'll be back in this game or not. Tyler Batty, he could probably have himself a night as he was not able to run like you want to against that Georgia defense. You'll be able to do that against South Carolina. But we'll also get to see what Shane Beamer dials up there for South Carolina, if he can keep that momentum going after the way that they were able to handle Florida last week. One of the big games in the SEC this weekend, also in the country, number 11 Texas A&M, number 15 Ole Miss, the high-powered offense of Ole Miss there with Lane Kiffin at home in Oxford, taking on the high-powered defense, really, of Texas A&M. Texas A&M, a 2.5-point favorite coming into Oxford in this one. If Ole Miss is going to win this game, Matt Corral has to be healthy, and I don't think he's that. I think at best right now he's 75%, and I don't think a 75% Matt Corral can win a game against Texas A&M, whose defense is clicking on all cylinders right now, as well as Zach Calzada, who's starting to get things figured out. That the running backs there, and Isaiah Spiller, you know, he is what he is in himself. He's a great running back. You can carry the rock with him too. But Matt Corral has to get things going for Ole Miss's offense if they're going to be able to stick around in this game and be able to beat Texas A&M. Should be a good one. Again, that's at 7 o'clock. I think this is where game day will be headed to this weekend. If it's not game day, I know SEC Nation will be there. So that should be a really fun one there in Oxford. See what shakes out. Texas A&M, you just got to continue to win and hope that Auburn can beat Alabama at the end of the year if Alabama doesn't slip up against Arkansas next week. Again, a lot of stuff is going to have to happen for that. But, hey, they struggled pretty mightily against LSU. Still at 7 o'clock there on ESPN2, you get Kentucky at Vandy. Not a lot to talk about this one. I think Vandy is going to be able to hang a little closer with this. Kentucky a 21-point favorite, but something just tells me. I'm not sure about this. I know in the past I said with the Vandy-Missouri game that I think Vandy plays with a chip on their shoulder. I don't think this is going to be the same kind of game. I think Kentucky's going to come into this game a little bit mad with the way that things shook out against Tennessee last week, and Kentucky's a 21-point favorite in this one. Don't be surprised if Kentucky kind of takes away with this one. I think Kentucky's trying to prove a point this week in this game. I think Will Levis has a really good game. Wandale Robinson as well there. And Chris Rodd kind of goes off on the ground as well for Kentucky. I think Kentucky's going to be firing on all cylinders offensively, special teams, everything in this game. And pretty much drum Vandy. Pretty much drum them. Again, I gave credit to Vandy a couple of weeks ago. I don't think this is the same kind of game for them this weekend. Another kind of intriguing one ending out the SEC here. You got number 25, Arkansas, traveling to LSU. The only reason I say that this is intriguing, Arkansas is a 3-point favorite. The over-under on this one's 59. This one's on SEC Network. But it's intriguing because it's hard to win in Death Valley at night. It's very hard to win, especially in an Arkansas team who has not done that recently. But an Arkansas team this year that I believe can do that, can do it. It's going to take a lot to be able to do it. Offensively for LSU, Max Johnson, he's been doing okay, but really the way that they've been able to move the ball is on the ground. That's been where their answer is. But you look at the other side of the ball in Arkansas, Treylon Burks, you got KJ Jefferson. Offensively, Arkansas is really good as well. Defensively, they've got to be able to slow down that run of LSU. If they can slow down the run of LSU, I think Arkansas stands a chance to win this game. They're only a 3-point favorite. This is going to be a tough one as far as picks go to be able to nail that one down. But Arkansas could finally win a game. They're in Baton Rouge at night. A night game at Death Valley is hard to do, but it's be kind of hard-pressed for Arkansas to get it here, but I'm not going to say it couldn't happen. Let's get down to our picks for this week in these before we jump to some of the games around the country. Cody's on the weekend. Let's start back up here at the top. Got Bama, obviously. That's a no-brainer. He's got Auburn over Mississippi State. Florida, you got to go with that one. Georgia over Tennessee. South Carolina over Mizzou. I like that. Here we go. Ole Miss over Texas A&M. Oh, there we go. That's a good matchup. Kentucky over Vandy. Arkansas over LSU. I like it. All right. That's where his are going to line up. Mine. Alabama over New Mexico State. Pretty much a no-brainer there. This Auburn-Mississippi State game, again, is just one that I'm really intrigued by. Really intrigued by. But, regardless, you got to pick it, and I'm going to write it down at the same time so I don't forget it. Auburn, 5.5-point favorite in this one. Mississippi State hadn't been a bad football team. Will Rogers looked really good last week if he can continue that momentum. And Auburn's also kind of limping off of that Texas A&M game. This could be tight. This one could come down to two. But I like Auburn in it. I think Auburn wins it. So give me Auburn. I'll take Florida over Samford. I like Georgia over Tennessee. Let's see. And give me that over. How about that? Give me that over 56 because I just think that's going to hit over. South Carolina, Missouri. I like this one too. I do like that South Carolina pick there by Cody. I think Missouri could come into this one pretty mad, but the way Missouri looked last week without Connor Bazelak makes a big difference. Connor Bazelak's in this game, it's a lot tighter. But without him, South Carolina could come into this one and win it. I like it as well. Give me South Carolina as well. This is where we'll change up. He's going to take Ole Miss, but I think that's because he thinks Matt Corral can come into this game and make the difference. Again, I just don't think he's healthy enough to win this game. And you really need him at 100% to be able to be effective against this Texas A&M defense. Give me Texas A&M on the road in this one. I'll take them minus that 2.5 as well. So give me the win and that 2.5. Kentucky, Vandy, give me Kentucky. That's pretty simple. And we will also, I'm going to go Arkansas as well in that game against LSU. That's a tough one. That's a tough one to call, so I'm not going to mess with that 3.5. So pretty much shaping up just about the same way, but on mine I'll take Bama, I'll take Auburn, Florida, I'll take Georgia, plus that 56 on the, or excuse me, the over 56 as well in that South Carolina, Texas A&M with the win and the minus 2.5 on that one. I'll take Kentucky and Arkansas as well. Now let's look at some of the other games that there are around the country in the top 25. Some of the bigger games that you got matching up. North Carolina Pitt, that did just go final here on Thursday. Pitt pulls it out by a touchdown, 30-23. Cincinnati, South Florida, not much happening there. One of the big games this weekend, Michigan traveling to Penn State. This game could matter. There are a lot of games that are going to shake up what this Final Four could line up to be. That's because these teams all have to play each other, especially in the Big Ten, between Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, all of these guys still have to play each other. Michigan State, there's a big convolution of teams that are going to have to play one another that could knock everybody off. Or just, this could be the first year you have a two-loss team in the college football playoff. I don't know that that happens, but there is that possibility that it happens. Nonetheless, that one's going to be a good one up there in Penn State. Then you got Oklahoma and Baylor, number 8 versus number 13 there on Fox at 12 o'clock. That one will be a good one at 12 o'clock there in Waco. Purdue and Ohio State, 19-4. That's a good one. This is one I would pick, too, outside of the SEC. Ohio State's a 21-point favorite. I don't like that. I think Purdue's going to keep that within 21. I don't think Ohio State's running away with this game the way that Purdue's been able to play here lately. So, if I was picking this game, give me Purdue plus 21 in this one. I don't think they lose by that much. Got Minnesota and Iowa. That's a good one there at 3:30 as well. Notre Dame and Virginia, that'll be a good one there at Charlottesville, Virginia, at 7:30 on ABC. North Carolina State and Wake Forest, 16-12. That one will be a good one there as well. Wake Forest, a 2-point favorite there at the house. Oklahoma State and TCU. Again, Oklahoma State is my favorite as like a dark horse coming up in the Big 12 this season. Washington State, Oregon, that could be a good one as well. That pretty much rounds out what your top 25 kind of big matchups are that are going on this weekend. I did want to look back. All right, looking at who we think, and this is all based on who we think at the end of this year is going to be in the college football playoff. I'm going to start it off with Cody's. Cody's has changed. Looking at what we talked about last week, just in who we thought the top 25 or the top four would be last week, Cody had it at Georgia 1, Alabama 2, Michigan State 3, Oklahoma 4. I put it at Georgia 1, Michigan State 2, Alabama 3, Cincinnati 4. Actually, I think that was who we thought our top four should be, our own, not who we predicted that they would put it as the top four. So that was our top four then. And that was, again, just for week one at that time where we stood. This week, we are doing who we think, based off of the games last week and the way that the college football playoff ranking came out for week one and now week two. These are the teams that we think will be in the college football playoff at the end of this year. And this is how it lines up for Cody. Cody's got it Georgia at one. That means that Cody believes, regardless of whether Alabama gets in there or not, that Georgia will win the SEC championship game. And that is because if Georgia lost the SEC championship game with Alabama being ranked second, that would put Georgia wouldn't be first coming to this one. He's got Oklahoma at second. Kind of a dark horse coming up. They're right now ranked, I think, in the eighth or the ninth spot. So they've got some ground to make up, but it can be made up. There's a lot of shakeup still to happen in this top five, six, seven teams, because these teams still have to play one another. Michigan still has to play Ohio State. Michigan State still has to play. So all of these teams still have to play each other. So things can really change up. In the three spot, he's got Oregon. I like that. I don't think that's a bad take at all. Oregon's got still a little bit of a rocky road to come, but I think they can still take care of business. And in the four spot, he's going to go with two. It's hard to make that decision. I completely understand it. Right now, it's either Ohio State or Michigan State. And I think, again, that all just lines up to who is it going to be that you got playing one another? Because one of these teams could beat one and put the other out, or two. I mean, it's really hard to see. Right now, again, the top four, the way it lines up, is Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, and Ohio State. Now, that's his top four for who he thinks Final Four will be when we start college football playoffs. Georgia, Oklahoma, Oregon, either Ohio State or Michigan State. I don't hate it. We can talk about it more. I'd love if he was here so we could really dive into it. But this is where mine's going to line up. I got Georgia 1, and that is because I think Georgia wins out for the rest of the season and also wins the SEC championship game. In the two spot, based on where the rankings are right now and where they have teams ranked, I think Oregon will be ranked second. And I believe that because I don't think Oregon loses for the rest of the season. I think they're able to win out and get to where they want to be able to win the Pac-12 over there and be in that second spot. Third, and this is where things can get shook up a little bit. In the three spot, I like Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati will get in for the first time. The only difference is, if they get in, I've got a feeling they're going to put them at that four spot and not going to let them get any higher than that. So, really, it's a little bit of a change up for me. And I'll tell you what, let me do it like this. I think it's going to be Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State in third, Cincinnati in fourth. That's who I've got it. Georgia, let me write this down as well so I make sure I remember it. Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State, and Cincinnati. So you're going to get a Peach Bowl rematch in Georgia and Cincinnati to start it, as well as Oregon and Ohio State playing in that semifinal game as well online. So not too much further than off of what Cody has. Cody would have Georgia playing either Ohio State or Michigan State, and then Oklahoma and Oregon playing one another. Again, I just don't think, even if Oklahoma wins out, I still think Oklahoma's going to fall to Oklahoma State. That's one thing in and of itself in Bedlam, that I think the dark horse Oklahoma State's able to come up there and really make a difference in that. And I just don't think Oklahoma's going to have the firepower to be able to get up there. If they can't get over a Michigan State team who's already lost to Michigan, and they put Michigan above them, I just don't think, after the way that game went with Michigan State, Michigan, I don't think Michigan, earlier in the season, I thought Michigan would finally get over the hump of Ohio State. It can still happen, and I thought that because of Oregon being able to take Ohio State down. But since then, I just don't know. I think Ohio State has kind of hit a stride. And I just don't think Michigan's going to be able to take them. And again, Cincinnati, I just don't think they're going to be tested for the rest of the year. They're in the five spot, so all it takes is Alabama falling in that SEC championship game. And I think you have to put Alabama, basically swap Alabama down to the five spot, move everybody else up one. That's kind of the way I think it's going to end up lining up, because all these other teams can win. Again, a lot can happen, a lot can change up. It's not guaranteed that that's the way that it shakes out, but that's just kind of the way that we've got it. It's the nature of the beast. So I think that's going to kind of pretty much wrap it up. Let me look back through. Yeah, I think that's going to wrap us up here for our Week 11 slate there. After we've gone through everything, just double checking, got our picks in, that should be good. Ran through the top 25, went through who we think the Final Four is going to be, which is subject to change every week based upon how all the games go. So let's get out of here. Let's get out of this thing. Again, we really appreciate you guys being here. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at SECTalk20. Make sure you subscribe and follow us. Support the show if you guys want to. And tune in on Monday where we go in and review all of Week 11's game. Check in with you later.